And again he began to teach by the sea. And a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat, and he sat in the boat on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. And he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teachings, "Listen, behold, a sower went to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. The birds of the air came and devoured it. And some fell upon stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up and increased and produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And then in verse 9, Jesus said, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." The next verses that follow, Jesus explains the parable that he just spoke to his disciples, which we're going to get into this morning, the explanation of that parable. Up to this point in Jesus' ministry, Jesus spoke plainly to people. He never used stories or parables. He spoke the truth plainly so that it was easily understood by everyone. Everyone knew where he was coming from. He didn't hide anything. But now, all of a sudden, his method of teaching changes dramatically. And instead of speaking plainly, he tells stories. And some understood them, and some didn't understand them. Why was there the change in his teaching? Because there was a change in the attitudes of the people's hearts that were following him. There were many people who were following him for all of the wrong reasons. And Jesus tells us the reasons in verses 10 through 12, which we'll also get into, the reasons that he changed to speaking in parables. There were those who were now following Jesus, not to be instructed by him, but simply because he was a healer. They would bring people into the town of Capernaum and he would heal everyone. So now people said, "All right, I can get a healing. That's why I'll come to Jesus Christ. That's the reason I'll go to God, is because I can get a healing." And so they were following him merely because he was a healer, and they were interested in the healing, not the healer. They were interested in the gift, not the giver. That was dangerous. There was also a group of people, the religious folks, who hated him. And they sought to destroy Jesus Christ. And every time Jesus spoke plainly, their hearts became hardened. Look at chapter 3 with me. In verse 1 it says, "He entered the synagogue again, and a man who was there had a withered hand. And they watched him closely, whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man who has a withered hand, 'Step forward.' And he said to him, 'Is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath, to save or to kill?' But they kept silent. And when he had looked around at them with anger, being grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, 'Stretch out your hand.' And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. And the Pharisees went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him how they might destroy him." So their hearts became hardened. And so Jesus now speaks in parables. A parable is simply a little story to illustrate a truth. You could call it a vocal cartoon. We all appreciate cartoons, don't we? I love cartoons. They're one of my favorite way to communicate truth. Because they're funny and you laugh at them, but they drive home a point. I remember the cartoon that I read here several months ago about the little kid who was standing before a memorial of war veterans. And he looked at all these names on the plaque, you know, all these soldiers' names. He says, "Daddy, what is this?" He said, "Oh, son, these are the names of all the men that fell during the service." He said, "Which service, Daddy? The 9 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service?" Now, I hope that's not true, but it drives a point home. It's humorous, and it drives home a point. How that often churches can be very boring. And we appreciate cartoons and the humor involved in cartoons. Parable is sort of like that. It's a vocal kind of a cartoon. It's a story to illustrate a truth. You draw a picture with words, and then people go, "Oh, yeah, I can understand that." using an analogy. That's what Jesus did with parables. But also, parable is sort of like dimming the lights, a sort of hiding of the truth. You say, why? We'll discover it. In verse 10, when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. The purpose is twofold. There are two kinds of hearers, Jesus says. Those who are interested in spiritual truth and those who are not interested in spiritual truth. You know, you talk to some people and it just goes in one ear and out the other. They're not even interested in spiritual things. The words fall upon deaf ears. But then there are those who are seeking and searching spiritual truth. Seeking after God. So one class of hearers that Jesus spoke to was seeking God. The other class was seeking to destroy God. To put Jesus Christ out of the way. So he says, all things come in parables. He says this, but to those who are outside, in verse 11, all things come in parables. In other words, there are some people who follow him for the wrong reasons. Jesus says they are outside. And then he explains in verse 12, and he says something that is very solemn and amazing. So that seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Now that scripture has troubled a lot of people because it almost sounds like Jesus is saying, I'm saying these things because I don't want them to turn and forgive them. I'm purposely hiding the truth so they will not turn, but Jesus is not saying that at all. If we were to read Matthew's gospel, Matthew quotes the same and he says this, seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them, for their hearts have become dull and their eyes they have closed. Did you get that? Who closed their eyes? They did. Who dulled their hearts? They did. They deliberately closed their eyes and put fingers in their ears to the truth. They didn't want to hear it. They did not want to hear the truth that Jesus spoke to them. So Jesus spoke in parables. He's saying this, look, I'm going to tell a story. To those who are really seeking the truth, this story will be like a stimulation, a lure to bring them into a deeper knowledge of the truth. But to those who are not interested in the truth, it'll just be another story. To one, it'll be an open door. And as they walk in the door, they'll discover spiritual truth much deeper. But to those who are not interested, it'll be a closed door. It'll just be another story that they don't understand. And so then Jesus gives the parable and explains it in verses 13 through 20. But before we go on, I want you to back up and look at verse 9. He said to them, he who has ears, let him hear. You know, God is so gracious in his revelations to us. Because when God reveals the truth to our hearts, he rips the veil off and lets us see ourselves. But the neat thing about God is he doesn't rip the veil off all at once and expose ourselves so that we can see all of us. He doesn't do that. He does a little bit at a time. So you'll hear a message one week or you're in your daily reading, you'll read something and you go, man, I need changing in that area. I'm horrible in that area. Or God will reveal your heart to yourself and you go, oh, is that me? Nah, couldn't be me. But he does it a little bit at a time, and then the next week a little more and a little more. If God were to rip the veil off completely and expose our true hearts, we'd be wiped out completely. We couldn't stand. So God does a little bit at a time, and every time he reveals our true hearts to ourselves, he also reveals himself to us and his ability to deal and to change us in that area so that there's comfort as we go. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, I have many things to share with you, but you can't bear them. I have a lot of things to tell you, but you just can't handle them right now. What did Paul say to the Corinthians? I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For up to this point, you weren't even able to handle it. There were certain spiritual truths that God withholds from you until you're able to bear it. Until your heart is open and you can receive that portion of truth. Today we're going to take a tour, an excursion of our own hearts. I think that after this morning, you're going to see your true colors before the Lord. God will expose a portion of your heart to you. Because in these verses, Jesus describes four types of soil, which he says are four types of hearts, heart conditions. And the question this morning is, what kind of a heart do you have? How receptive is your heart? As we go through this portion of Scripture, this is a time where we don't point the finger at anyone else. It's a time where we bring our hearts before the Lord and we meditate on our heart before God. So while we're going through this, please don't think about anyone else's condition. No nudging of the husbands or the wives. And we're so apt to think, oh, that's how that person is. No, no, think of how we are before God. Because only God knows your heart this morning, and God will reveal your heart to yourself. In verse 13, he says, don't you understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? Verse 14, the sower is the word. First, he shows us the approach of God to every human being. It's like seeds falling into the soil. God drops his word in people's hearts. We are confronted at one time or another in our lives with the truth, whether we read a book about God, about being born again, whether we read the Bible, or whether we hear a sermon. We're confronted with the truth at one time or another in our lives. Whether somebody witnesses to you on the street, or you hear it in a church, or you read it in a book, you're confronted with the gospel. And then what do you do with it? Well, then Jesus describes four types of reactions. Let me say this before we go on. It's so easy at the close of a service when the music is playing to raise up the hand and get emotional. I want to accept Christ. It's so easy to do that. It's so easy to come forward and receive a Bible and say the sinner's prayer. That's easy. But it's so hard to grow a life of continual commitment in Jesus Christ. That's tough. Easy to say, yeah, I'll say the sinner's prayer, I'm saved, hallelujah. But it's hard to maintain that continued commitment in Jesus Christ. One of the easiest things I can do is go out and buy a plant. We go check my office sometime and see how many are alive. Hard for me to grow a plant. People have green thumbs, I have black thumb when it comes to plants. They all die on me. Easy to buy a plant, go, oh, new life, that's great. But to continue and maintain that growth over a period of time, that's another story. And so Jesus talks about those four types of hearts. The first one is in verse 15. He says, these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. This is the callous heart that Jesus speaks about the first time. Now in Israel, when they would farm, they would have long, narrow strips of farmland where they would plant crops. And in between the fields, there were pathways where the farmer would walk. And also his donkey and his oxen would walk. So consequently, the dirt on the path became so beaten down, it became hard as a rock. When the sower would sow his seed, he would put a sack of seed on his donkey, cut a little hole in the corner, and he'd walk along, and he would sort of, like a little gauge, open and close the sack, put seed in his hand, and throw it out in the field. Well, because the donkey was walking on the pathway, some of the seed would spill and it would just go right on the road where the farmer was walking. Because it was a hard kind of a ground, the seed couldn't get in. It wasn't plowed. It wasn't tender. And also the birds could see it. It was in plain view. So the birds would swoop down when the seed was exposed and they'd rip it off. They'd steal the seed. That's the kind of ground that Jesus says is like the first heart. He says, Satan comes immediately, and he takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. Jesus is speaking about the person here who has a busy heart. He's not open to the truth. You share the truth with him, and he just mocks it. It sort of falls upon hardened ground. He has beaten the truth down so many times that he has grown cynical. Callous, hard-hearted toward the truth. You ever met people like that? Sad. What a sad condition. I worked with a fellow who constantly looked in the things that I would say for ways to mock Jesus Christ. I went into his office. He was my boss. I went into his office one day, and he had a picture that said, J.C. will save America. And it had a halo over President Jimmy Carter. And he would look at it and he would, hey, look at that. This is my JC. And he was just so callous, and I'd share the gospel with him and he'd mock it and it just made no connection. He had been taught the truth so many times it just sort of beat it down. He didn't want to hear it anymore. These are the kind of people who can hear the truth, doesn't affect them. No big deal. Don't tell me about Jesus. Calloused, hard-hearted, busy hearts, not open to the truth. But also, among Christians, I think there are those with calloused hearts. I don't want to say among Christians. Let me say, in the churches, there are those with calloused hearts. There are those who go to church, but they are imitation believers. They're not really born again. They've never really changed. The truth never affects them. And that's sad. Imitation believers. They look like a believer. They come to church and they all stand together and you think all of them are Christians. They all carry a Bible. They all smile sometimes. You think, oh, they're Christians. They look like a Christian. They're in a church. They've got to be born again. Have you ever gone to a store and had imitation ice cream? When I was a kid, we'd always buy ice cream. I lived on ice cream. My mom would always have a stock in the house. And then they came out with imitation ice cream. And my mom bought it. It looks just like ice cream. It comes in the same package, but it's not ice cream. It's fake. And then after imitation ice cream came ice milk. And then imitation ice milk. I saw imitation ice. I couldn't believe it. Just to save a few pennies, first you have ice cream, imitation ice cream, and then ice milk, and then imitation ice milk. What else? You can't get any more imitation than that. Now, they all come in the same packages. They sort of look the same, but one's fake and one's real. There are people who week after week hear the truth, hear the messages out of the Scripture, but it falls upon deaf ears. They have no feeling. They don't know really concern or care or feeling that Jesus died for them. It's like water on a rock. There's no effect in their lives. The word doesn't do anything. They hear it, oh, that's great, and nothing happens. No effect, no change. Calloused heart. They have heard the truth so long, and they've learned how to deal with it and shelf the truth for so long that it has no effect. That's the callous heart that Jesus speaks about. You know, there's a lot of people in our churches in America that look at Christianity as a sideline. Well, let's join a church, just like you would join a lodge or a club. Yeah, I belong to this church down here. They never do anything with the Word of God, but they belong to it like a social event. Jesus describes the calloused hearts, those who hear the Word, but Satan is allowed to snatch it away week after week. Then he comes to the second type of heart in verse 16. He says, these likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the Word, immediately they receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves, and so they endure only for a time. And afterwards, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. This type of heart, Jesus calls, is a shallow heart. You know, Israel is an interesting place. Jesus here speaks about soil, rocky soil. In Israel, there are rocks everywhere. Everything's built out of stone. I've never seen more rocks in a country than in Israel. But the rocky soil that Jesus is speaking about isn't dirt mixed with rocks. Often in Israel, there will be a thin layer of soil, topsoil, and a few inches down, you'll have a shelf of rock all the way across, a shelf of limestone rock. Well, in that shallow soil, you can put seeds in there, and they'll germinate quickly. They'll grow up very quickly. But it's only a surface plant. The roots can't go beyond the rock shelf. It can't go deep into the soil. And so it can't get the moisture out of the soil, the water. It can't get the nutrients out of the soil because the roots never go down deep enough. It's only a surface plant. And Jesus is here speaking about people who have a surface, shallow relationship with Jesus Christ. But notice that they hear the word and immediately they receive it with gladness. He's speaking here about people who accept Jesus Christ, but they never let Jesus Christ get beyond the surface of their life. Surface commitment of their life. They receive it with gladness. Often you see these people very emotional, very moved at a sermon or at something that God is doing, and they'll just get so moved and they'll often to tears and they'll be impulsive and they'll make a commitment. And you think, wow, this person wants to change. The trouble is, they do that with everything in life. They read a new book, a new doctrine comes along, and they're moved, and they follow it, and they go in all sorts of directions. They never get rooted in one place. They never receive the nutrition. And they're very, very shallow. Jesus warns against that. We don't have to be that kind of a Christian. We can be a rooted Christian. But it's interesting that they receive the Word of God with joy and with gladness.